Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Yeah. We're continuing in our series this morning, Being the Church. And the church being the church is a church that serves. Amen? Amen. I'm glad you said amen, because there's a big booth out there for you to get signed up to serve. We've got them out there for you. And you know what? I think before I go too far into this, I want to acknowledge someone who has served faithfully. Now listen, this is a real risky thing I'm doing right now, because there's a lot of you who have served faithfully. And I'm not going to be able to mention everyone's name, but this individual, Mark Cavedo, would you please stand? Gina, would you stand with him? Yeah. Stay standing, because I think the embarrassment hasn't hit all the way, so keep standing. How long, Mark, have you been involved in youth ministries? No, you've led high school for 5 years, but you were in it before that, correct? So he's, like, Mark has headed up our high school ministries for the past 5 years, done a marvelous job, and the only way he could do a marvelous job is if Gina was allowing it. So we had her stand also, and she's been a, very much, yes. And Mark, just in the last, about 3 weeks ago, I think he resigned from the high school ministries, and so we've, don't worry, we'll get another one. That's fine. We won't get another one like him, for sure. But we certainly want to say thank you so much, Mark, for all the hard work that you did. It's hard to be a dad and serve and work and do all those things and serve in the high school ministry. That is such an active ministry. You can't sit around. You got to be up and moving all the time. But we just wanted, I want to take a minute, because we're talking about serving. What a great example you've been of serving. And he's not done. He's a deacon here at the church, and we're gonna find a lot of adult ministry things for him to be doing. So thank you guys so much. I was looking for you guys first service, but you guys were hiding out or something, so. You're teaching. Good. See, he was serving right then. Beautiful, beautiful. So, using God's gifts his way. Using God's gifts his way. That's the title of the sermon. We're in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And I think that Mark would tell you that Galatians 1:10 is true in his life. Galatians 1:10, I do not do what I do for the favor of men. I do what I do for the favor of God. For if I was trying to please men, I would not be a follower of Jesus Christ. I think Mark would agree with that passage with us this morning. Let me read this to you, though. Let's follow along. I'm going to try and get you out of here in time to get signed up out there and get a hot dog and do all of those things before 2 o'clock. I hope they'll stay on until 2:30 in case we go a little late. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And the church said amen to that. That's the word of God. Amen. If I don't do anything else properly, we read the word of God, and you should be able to grasp something out of there. The Lord will show you something in there. But I'm about to show you a whole bunch more, so let's do that. A life surrendered to God. A life surrendered, dedicated to God. That's the first two verses. A life surrendered or dedicated to God will naturally lead to service in the body of Christ through the spiritual gifts that God, by His grace, has given to you. Let's look at the passage. Oh, let's ask the Lord to help us first. You guys okay with me asking the Lord to help us? Amen. You better be. It's a church of prayer right here. Heavenly Father, how I thank you so much for the Word of God, the roadmap to our lives. How you've told us everything we need to live a godly life. It's all in the Word of God. It's all in the book that we're reading from today. It's all right here for us to be able to study and transform our minds and become and understand the will, the good and perfect will of God the Father. That's what a great thing that you didn't save us and then leave us with no roadmap or no idea of we just got saved. We don't have any idea what's going on. But know that you had a plan, and your plan is never chaotic. So, oh Lord, would you please use this chaotic preacher this morning to deliver your message in such a way that the Holy Spirit will transfer it into the lives of these folks here, and that they might not be conformed to this world in the future, but be transformed through the renewing of their minds and learn to serve you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The call to present our bodies is in verse 1. He says, therefore, and when we see the word therefore, we always got to look back. Why is the therefore, therefore? What's it there for? And it's there because for 11 chapters, Paul has shown us the mercy of God. For 11 chapters. You were once of a depraved mind, according to chapter 1. You were in sin. You were born into sin. You had Adam's sin in you. Your nature was sin. But the mercy of God comes along and he says, I'm going to give you a way out of that. I'm going to give you my son's righteousness if you place faith in it. You'll be justified. He'll be the propitiation, the thing that satisfies me. But it's all because of my mercy. You see, nobody in this room deserves to go to heaven. None of you deserve it. What you deserved was hell. But God in his mercy says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Matter of fact, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to be gracious to you. I'm going to provide for you a sacrifice that you could not give on your own. That's what the first 11 chapters were talking about. Then 9 through 11 is very specific about his mercy. Very specific. But now he turns it. Therefore, in light of his mercy, because he's such a merciful God, and if you don't understand his mercy, we'll get to verse 2 in a minute. Because of his mercy, doesn't it seem like just a reasonable act of service, of worship, that you would give him your body as a living sacrifice? You see, sacrifices in the Old Testament, in order to get the atonement that they needed, they had to kill the animal. They had to slaughter the animal and put the blood on the altar. What Paul is saying here is, no, you should give your body and it should be a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, because somebody else has already died. They've already paid the price. They've already atoned for your sin. So what you need to do is you need to say, hey, knowing that, knowing how merciful you've been to me, knowing how gracious you are, I'm going to give you my body. I'm putting it on the altar today. I'm going to give up myself. I'm going to die to me and live for you. That's what you should say. That's what he says in that verse. And this sacrifice, it's not a dirty sacrifice. It's one that's been forgiven. It's a holy sacrifice. You, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you got Jesus Christ's righteousness. You were clothed in dirty rags, filthy rags. Everything you'd ever done that was good was nothing before God. But when you got saved, he clothed you. He put a different robe on you. He put the robe of Jesus Christ on your life. Amen? He says, you are a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Oh, my goodness. That we could please the Heavenly Father is amazing to me. But you can because, not because of your work, but because the work of his son on a cross. This is a total life offering. Mind, body, resources, relationships. It's everything. I'm giving you everything. And oh, I hope that you've done this in your life where you say, he's worthy of it all. He's worthy of everything I am. Why would he want me is my question. Why would he want you? Because it wasn't about what you could do. It was about what he could do. And he said, I want you so badly that in the annals of time, before the world was ever formed, he sat with his son and he said, son, I got a plan. We're going to create a world and they're going to fail us. And I'm going to need you to go and take on flesh. And you're going to have to die on a cross. And the son says, whatever you need, dad, I'll sign up for it. And so here we are. And oh, I'm thankful to be in this time. I'm so happy to be in this time where the Bible is completed. The book is complete. Our sacrifice is a living one. It's a living sacrifice. You see, you don't get anything out of something that's dead. And the Lord said that he saved us. Pastor Todd last week did a marvelous job of showing us Ephesians 2 and then 4, and then he jumped all over the place. I'm like, well, if he could do it, I could do it. So I took on two extra verses. Like, I'm only supposed to be doing 3 through 8, by the way, just so you know. But I'm like, oh, I got to do 1 and 2 because you got to give him your body or you'll never serve. You will never serve until you give him your body. So our sacrifice is living. It's an ongoing sacrifice. We've been set apart. We've been set apart to do the work of the Savior. You've been set apart so you don't have, guess what? You were headed for hell. Now you're headed for heaven. You once were something he could have never used. Now he can use you fully. Because he gave you the Holy Spirit. Now you have the ability to do things you never could have done before. And it's pleasing to God. The second call is a call to be transformed. Not conformed, but be transformed. Let's read it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Stop letting the world's values shape you. With everything that's going on in this world, go on YouTube for about 15 minutes and see the chaos that's going on. Why would you want to follow anything from the world? I mean, just a logical person says, I'm not following that craziness. And you got one fighting against the other, and you got another one fighting against them, and another one fighting against that, and we found out the world is really not at peace. That's what we found out. That's what the internet showed us. That's what COVID showed us. It showed us how much we hate each other. Not us. How the world hates each other. And the world is a system that's been, it isn't the terra firma, it's not the dirt we're talking about when we say the world. And And he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word transform, when you look at the Greek, it has the connotation of metamorphosis. And you know, anybody know what metamorphosis means? That's the worm or the caterpillar or whatever you want to call it, and it crawls into the cocoon, makes a cocoon, crawls in there, and within a few days it comes out, it's a beautiful butterfly. Yeah. You see, I was once a worm. I was once a worm, and then I met my Savior. I met my Savior, and the cocoon of salvation of Him dying on the cross was wrapped around me. And what came out the other side was a beautiful butterfly. Well, in my case, just a butterfly. I won't say beautiful. Well, I already said beautiful, so I'll stay with it. Let your mind be renewed through God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Those are the renewing agencies. This is what we want. We take a hell-bound sinner. We don't take it, but God takes a hell-bound sinner, and through the message of Jesus Christ dying on a cross and the simple faith that it takes, that He gives, the person is transformed. And that transformation stops if you don't dig in. You got to keep going. How many of you knew everything about Jesus when you got saved? Don't raise your hand, because you're lying if you do. It's a lifetime of study, learning who Christ is. It's a lifetime of it. But look what happens if you can get that metamorphosis. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, then, when your mind is renewed, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You see, what a lot of people do is they go to Todd or me or Pastor Tim, and they want to know what the will of God is in their life. And I want to tell them, haven't you read the book? Why aren't you reading the book? And I don't mean Harry Potter. I'm talking the Bible. Why aren't you reading this book? Ask yourself that. Well, I'll tell you what. If you're not reading this book, you probably aren't serving either. It's just me being for real with you. If you get upset, write a letter and send it to Shannon. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the result. The renewing of the mind is a result. This is what you will get when you renew your mind. You get good, pleasing, perfect will of the Father. You understand what it is He wants. You don't have to ask the pastor what his will is for you. And please, young people, don't come and ask me about the girl you're dating and ask me, do I think it's God's will that you marry her? I'm not getting in front of that bus. And for those of you who have already married someone, I don't want to be in front of that bus either. The thought here is, the transformation that takes place is the root. You've got to do the transforming. You've got to get the tree planted deep. And then what takes place, service starts happening. You start finding out what God's will is in your life, and you're going to realize right away when you start digging into this book, you got to serve. You got to serve Him. It's where Christianity, I think it's like this. Stay with me on this. How many of you remember when you got saved? How many of you remember that? Okay. Didn't you, when you got saved, didn't you want to tell everyone about it? Yes, sir. Didn't you? It was like a Category 5 rapids you were in. You're like on a boat just flying down the rapids. You can't believe what God did in your life, how He changed you, how you were a complete wretch, and now you're a child of the King. What a transformation that was. Talk about a metamorphosis. But then, you know, you go to church for a little while, and it kind of wears off, doesn't it? It shouldn't, but it does. And then, in that water, you're in that rapids, and all of a sudden the rapids starts to slow down a little bit. You know, because your attitude changed, your motivation might be a little different, whatever the problem is. And then you dump into this large body of water, and it's still. And you get out your raft, and you blow it up, and you lay out on the raft and put the sunscreen on, and you're just chilling. And then your raft kind of gets over near the edge. And I don't know if you've ever seen a body of water that's still. If you get over near the edge, it's kind of slimy. It's kind of dirty looking. It don't look too good. That's a Christian that's not serving, in my mind. That's somebody that's ridden it out. I just need more information. How many of you need more information before you can serve the Lord? Oh, I just need more information. Well, we got all the information you need outside when you leave here. But then I say it this way. But the other side of that still water, there's another rapids you can get in. And that rapids to me in the Christian life is serving the Lord. If you don't serve him, you'll be in that stagnant water. You won't ever go back up the rapids and be unsaved again. That's not going to happen. But you got to get to, and you know what? Sometimes you got to paddle the boat over to get in that rapids. But when you get in it, you'll never be sorry. You'll never be sorry serving the Lord. Matter of fact, your Christian life will take off to heights that you never knew existed. I guarantee you that. Guarantee it. Will you still have some issues now and then? Oh, sure. You're doing life. You got a life sentence to do life. And we're going to do life together. That's why we need each other. That's why it's so important that we serve. So let's go a little deeper. I'm going to the third thing. Well, it's actually the second deal, but those other, that A and B was inside of my first point. The second one is you need humility. Amen. And I want you to watch something. He said to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now watch what this says. I said humility. That's thinking rightly about ourselves. This is the first transformation towards serving others right here. And this is Paul speaking. Now watch. He says, for by the grace given me. Paul is identifying the gift given to him by saying, by the grace given to me. He was given the apostolic gifting that he had. That was given to him as a grace gift by God. So he's got that. Now he's utilizing it in this passage. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you. He's now exercising that gift of a teacher. So he's acknowledging that the Lord's given him a gift, and it was given to him by grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. It's a free gift. So it's kind of a double one. Grace given, right? So he says, he's identifying that. He's acknowledging that the gift was given to him by grace. It is unmerited by Paul. You don't earn the gift. Paul didn't earn his gift. I didn't earn mine. You didn't earn yours. It was just given to you. By the grace of God, you've been given a spiritual gift to exercise. Paul is exercising that gift by doing this, and he says, do not, this is it, watch this word, do not think. Now, he's not saying don't think in that way. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Didn't he say we have to transform our mind earlier? Now he's showing you how to transform your mind. He's going right from 2 to 3. Be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Think on not that you're more highly thought of than anybody else. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Arrogant spiritual pride is the enemy of the Christian life, and it's the enemy of you ever serving. You know why? You can't serve people that you think you're better than. Because it's not service, then it's charity. It's something different between serving and giving charity. Oh, I'll serve you because you're beneath me. That's charity. Now, I'll consider you more than me, and I'll serve you. What did Christ do? The night of the Lord's Supper that night, didn't he wash some feet? I came to serve, not be served. I'm the King of Kings, and I'm going to wash your dirty feet, men. I can't think of a more gross thing to have to do than wash people's feet. You ever look at people's feet? It's just flat out ugly. And all you women go, oh, I painted my toenails. It is still ugly. Feet are ugly. But Christ, in the last 24 hours of his life on earth, washed the disciples' feet. Because he came to serve. And he did it as an example to them on how to serve. You got to get low to serve. He got down on his hands and knees like this and put their feet in his lap and washed their feet. Can you imagine? The God of the universe sends his son to die for you and he washes your feet. That's called service. This wasn't in the first service. Don't know where it came from. It's in the second one, though. But rather, think. Again, thought life. Again, think. Transform the mind. Instead, but rather, think. How? With sober judgment. Not nonchalantly. Oh, I think I'll just do that. Some of you plan your day like that, you know what gets done? Nothing. You have to have sober thought. Make a sober judgment. I find when I read my Bible, there's not very much trivial about it. It's pretty sobering. You see, sober judgment means we see ourselves as God sees us. And you know how God sees you? He doesn't see you inflated, and he does not see you as diminished. You're somebody that he sent his son to die for. That's how he sees you. And he loves you, oh my. He loves you no matter what you're doing. Sometimes I'm afraid to tell people that because I'm afraid they'll go out and get too crazy because he loves them anyway. But whether you're living for him or whether you're struggling to live for him or whether you're transforming your mind or you're not transforming your mind, God's love never changes for you. It's not based on what you could do anyway. It's based on what he did. And it's in accordance with the faith. And what that means in accordance when you read that, it's the measure. It's a measurement of your faith. There's stages of your faith. There's people in the room today that have been saved, a Charlie Orozco, a Tim Balsam. They've been saved for 50, 60 years. Their faith is different than you that are in the room that are 15 that just got saved last week. They got a different kind of faith. It's a measurement of the faith. It's stages of the faith. There are stages to it. So he says, act in accordance, be the sober-mindedness in accordance with your faith. Different stages of faith, different stages of discipleship. Because really, discipleship leads to more faith. When you persevere, your faith does what? Decreases? No, it increases. And then look who gave you the gift. God has distributed to each of you. Distributor, or another way of saying this would be God has assigned you a particular gift. God is the one who is growing us. He's the one walking. We're walking by his Spirit, growing different fruit according to the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul had a certain amount of faith assigned to him, as we see in the first line of this verse. For by the grace given me, I've been given that grace that he was given was a position of authority. And he exercises the gift in verse 3 by telling them, stop thinking of yourself so highly. You were nothing before Christ came into your life. I like this with C.S. Lewis. This is where humility should not be a problem for any of us. Should not be a problem for us. The only thing that you are that's worthwhile is what God has made you. Because in and of yourself, you could never do anything that would please the Lord. C.S. Lewis says this, humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Did you hear that? You want me to say that one more time for you? Well, whether you want me to or not, I'm going to. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. If you sit around and all you think about yourself, they got these new words for all this stuff. It's called narcissism now. I just call it probably sin. If you can't think of anybody else but you. Before we can be used by God to serve, we must humbly submit to Him. How do we humbly submit to Him? By transforming our minds using sober judgment. Check yourself to make sure there is not a spiritual arrogance or pride present in your life. That's what he was saying in the humility phase. Now we get to the part where it's about unity in verses 4 and 5. In verses 4, he uses the physical body as a metaphor, using our own bodies as an illustration. He just, not even a metaphor, it's just using us as our body as a illustration. What does he say there? For just as each of us has one body with many members, you got a lot of members in your body. Right? I got eyes, I got a nose, I got a mouth, I got a tongue, I got teeth, I got ears, I got hair everywhere. I got hair growing places it shouldn't grow, and I can't get it to grow where I want it to grow. All right, so you have all of that going on. You got fingers and fingernails and knuckles, and just think about all of the parts of your body. We have many members, and these members do not all have the same function. You know, my knuckle only goes one way. Right? Both of my hands, when I put them this way, they go inward. If yours go outward, you're double jointed or something. But my hands are only made a certain way. I only have two eyes. If I had four eyes, I'd need four arms and four legs. I'd become a spider or something. But this is how God made me. But my body is made a certain way. Listen to this, though. What happens if you get a sliver up under your fingernail? The rest of your body knows it. You can't do anything when that happens. You've got to get that out. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Verse 5, in Christ we, though many, form one body. Just like the body. You know, I think that Paul used the body. You know why I think he used the body as his illustration? Because you carry it with you everywhere you go. It's a constant reminder. It's a constant reminder. So in the church, he's saying, in Christ, in the church, we, though many, form one body. The church is one body with many members. Many members. And we need all of the members to be working together before the body is complete. That's why we took the time to set up tents out there and tell you about the ministries of Valley Bible Church so you can get involved. Because your spiritual life will only go so far before you have to start serving. And each member belongs to themselves. What does yours say? Mine says, and each member belongs to all the others. Like, I don't get to choose and pick what my gift is and who it should be toward. Like, hey, I don't like Kevin, so I'm not going to talk to him. If he has a problem, let him deal with it. I'm a pastor. I'll have Tim deal with him because I don't like Kevin. I don't get to say that. I shouldn't even think that. Each member belongs to all the others. Though many members form the body, no member is independent and no member is insignificant. Try chopping off your foot sometime and see how insignificant it was. Don't try that. That was a metaphorical statement. And I just wrote this down because I thought of, I like music a lot. A symphony, imagine a symphony that only had violins. There'd be a lot of music they couldn't play. So we need everybody playing their instrument. That's the unity that we need. We need to be unified. We're one body, people. We're one body. Don't turn your head and go the other way when you see somebody from the church in the grocery store. You guys have done that to me. Edwin has done it. I know he has. He goes, oh, there's Larry. I got things I got to do. I'm out. Love you, Edwin, fellow elder. We need each other. Oh, don't I need the fellowship of the saints? Oh, I need the fellowship of the saints. I don't like being away from church too long. Every now and then I'll take a day off, but I'll tell you what, I don't like doing it, even then. But my wife likes vacations, so we have to do that occasionally. Listen, we're back, we're down into the verses 6 through 8, serving, using our gifts faithfully. Not, oh, I think they want some help doing the Candy Kingdom. All right, I'll do it. Oh, stay home, would you? Don't even come out with that attitude. God's not going to bless it anyway. But listen, we have different gifts. Imagine that. We have different gifts. According to the grace given to each of us. Remember that God himself is the one who assigns the gifts. How many of you think that God makes mistakes? Please don't raise your hands. All right, so if God doesn't make a mistake and he gifted you to be an exhorter or to be a giver or to be whatever your gift is, that's not a mistake. He's using that gift to intertwine with the other gifts to make a body complete. And if all of a sudden, let's say you're the ligament in my knee and you don't show up, my knee's going to lock up and I'm going to be in a lot of pain. The church is going to be in a lot of pain. The body won't function the way it's supposed to. And what we have around here at Valley sometimes is we have the same people doing 8 different gifted things. And they're not gifted at all 8. They're just filling in because we can't find the person in our midst who will serve that has the gift. But you got people that love the Lord so much, and they understand I got to serve him, they're going to step in and serve. Thank you for those people. Amen. I know, I it was really quiet in the first service. I'm getting a few more amens, but not many. Because this is convicting, isn't it? You know why it's convicting? If you're one of the ones serving 8 different ministries, it's not too convicting right now, is it? And let me tell you, the people that are doing 7 or 8 different ministries, they gladly give some of those up if you come along and you got the gift. Amen? Yeah. Mark, could you have done youth ministry all by yourself? No way. I can't pastor. Todd can't pastor. We can't pastor this church by ourselves. There'll be so much stuff that doesn't get done if you don't show up and give out your gift. And guess what? God wants to bless you with that gift. You're going to find so much joy and be so fulfilled when you start serving. Grace is the source of the gifts. And God assigned them. There are 7 examples of gifts, and this is not an exhaustive list. There, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 12 has a more, Ephesians has a fuller list than this one. Prophecy. He mentions that. He says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Okay? And accordance with your faith. What did we say accordance was? In measurement of your faith. So if you just got saved 2 years ago, and you come and start telling me you're going to prophesy to me and tell me what God wants me to do, I'm going to first of all ask you, where did you find that in here? Because, you see, there's different meanings for prophesy. There's different meanings. It's not the Old Testament prophet he's talking about here. He's talking about the Word of God. You remember, they didn't have the completed book. We have the completed book. Oh, man, I'm glad I'm in this era. Because if I don't know certain things about God, it's probably my fault for not reading the book. Because he said everything I need to know about him in here. Everything's in here for life and godliness, I think he says. Everything. So prophecy, it's not There aren't any prophets today out here telling me some new information that's not in Scripture. But guess what? Some people, some religious groups, some denominations would say what me and Todd and Tim and Sean Davis, when he's preaching, what we do is prophesying because we're bringing the Word of God to you. And maybe we're explaining it in a way that you would not have been able to understand yourself. Although I don't believe that. I think if you study enough, the Holy Spirit will show you what's in that passage. But you've got to go to work. You've got to get your shovel out and dig a bit. But you can find it out. But sometimes we bring what would be called a new word, even though it's not new. It's been in the Bible for 2,000 years. But we just explain it in a way that you grab it. Some people would call that prophecy. I just call it preaching or exhorting. If your gift is in serving, now look how simple this is. If your gift is in serving, look at how difficult that is. What's the commandment? Then serve. Wow. You know what? There's people out at these tables. They're going to be out there when we get done. You know what we did? Joel Enriquez and his engagement team. What they did was they sent out a list and said, hey, we need you guys to be at these tables and tell people about your ministry when they come by. Huh. Well, if you got a gift of service, then serve. And they just showed up. I was walking around out there earlier after first service. There was so many people out at those tables. It was incredible. Praise God. It doesn't mean you shouldn't sign up, though. You get out to that table at the end of this. And then we go on. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's teaching, why aren't you teaching? If you know your gift is teaching, why aren't you teaching? Well, Pastor, that takes a lot of work. Yeah, but he gives you the grace to be able to do the work that's necessary to be able to present the Word of God in a fashion where people will understand it. Like, it's not on you, it's on him to do the gifting. We'll train you around here. We will. We'll equip you to be able to teach. We'll also be able to tell you, hey, I think you got it wrong. You're not a teacher. Seriously. We can laugh at that, but it's true. I wouldn't want you to continue to go down a pathway that it's obvious is not the gifting that God's given you. So we will help you in many ways. Encouraging. To encourage. Well, what's he say about that one? Then give encouragement. I think that's probably my gift. Although you don't feel like it today because I'm on you about not serving. And I'm not even on you. I'm just telling you what the passage says. Then he says, I like this. He gets real specific on these last three. He gives us a little bit of a picture of what that should look like. If it is giving, and look, you don't have to have a gift of giving to give. But if you do have the gift of giving, you will give, and you'll give in this fashion. If you're exercising the gift that God gave you in giving, you will do it generously. You'll do it with a spirit of generosity. You won't give it like, oh man, here I go again. I got to give an offering. Oh no, the people I know that are givers, they're looking for places to give. And I don't think that that's my spiritual gift, but I love to give. You should love to do that. The one who gave me everything says, can you just give a little bit back? And guess what's promised with that? Blessings. Blessings. Boy. What about in leading? Well, if you're leading, he says to do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Like, oh boy, we got to show this guy mercy. He's a complete train wreck, but now we got to give him some mercy. You're not doing that cheerfully. You start pointing out all his faults. That's not being cheerful. You should be thankful that you have an opportunity to show that man mercy or that woman mercy. In all the different ministries of Valley, we're showing people mercy all the time. We should be. That may not even be your gift, but boy, if you have a chance to show somebody mercy, they will never forget you. I had a young man out here that came out in the parking lot on a Wednesday night. Rebecca, I don't know if she's in the building, but she remembers this. He was standing outside the doors when we were leaving after worship ministry practice. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And he's standing out there, and Rebecca was kind of nervous. She goes, hey, there's a guy standing out here in the parking lot. I'm kind of nervous to go out in my car. So I said, well, let's go out there. Went out and talked to the guy, present the gospel to him. You know what he wanted to do? He had just gotten himself a job over here at Caltrans. He said, is it okay? I'm afraid I'll miss. I don't want to be late for work my first day there. Because I want to sleep in the parking lot. That way I can go right there. I said, well, I think you can sleep here one night. Just don't make it a habit. So I said, yeah, you can sleep, no problem. I think he came back by the church. This is probably about 3 years ago. He came back by the church recently. Was an unsaved man. I presented the gospel to him, talked to him, that told him God loved him. Comes back by the church offices. His final day here, he's transferring to Sacramento, which is where he was from originally. He comes by to say, hey, I just wanted to come by and see that guy that I talked to that night. Because he treated me like a human being. And he says, I also wanted to let him know, I think he was a pastor here, I also wanted to let him know that I accepted Christ about 4 months ago. Showing mercy. And I won't say that showing mercy is my spiritual gift, but I think you can do it. All right, almost done. Almost done. Tell them in the back to get ready. Get the hot dogs on. We're coming. You know that we're under heavy budget whenever we give you hot dogs. Yes, those hot dogs are good. Going down they are. All right, here we go. This may be an obvious thing at this point, but I'm going to walk back through it. Verses 1 and 2, all about dedicating yourself. All about submitting yourself to the Lord, giving him your body as a living sacrifice, renewing your mind so that you can be transformed, so that you can know his will for your life. And then we jumped into verse 3, which was all about humility. And then we went to verses 4 and 5, and I called that unity. And then the final 3 verses was all about serving. All of those things lead you to serving. A surrendered life naturally results into a serving life. It's just the next thing. You can't truly offer your life to God and keep your gift to yourself. Because God saved you and gave you a gift so that you could serve the church with it. Serve him, but also those around you with that gift. Remember that surrendering yourself as a living sacrifice leads to service. When you give yourself to him, you give yourself to his people in service. I think the question is, or maybe something you could ask yourself, is why am I not serving? Why am I not serving? God saved me. I have a spiritual gift. Well, Pastor, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never find out what it is just sitting on the sideline. Go to work and do something, and you'll find out. What will happen is the thing that you're doing that gives you joy will be the gift, probably. If you're in ministry right now, I don't want to tell you to stop ministering, but if you're in ministry right now and you're totally miserable in it, I don't think you're in the spot God wants you to be in. I really don't. I think God puts you where you get the most joy. Fulfilling the giftedness that God has put in you will give you exceeding joy. Just will. So, now then, the challenge is to go outside these doors and not just go get a hot dog and get in your car and drive off as fast as you can. Go by and visit those booths and see if there's something there. Maybe you've thought about different things, but you don't know exactly what it takes to get in those ministries. Or you have some questions about, can I do certain things? You know, maybe the scheduling. Maybe I can change that scheduling. So get ready, because I'm going to pray over us, and then I'm going to ask you to please don't rush off to your car until you've walked. I think we have like 30 ministries that are out there, and we probably have more than that, but that's what's represented out there. Yeah, 30 ministries. And what happens is people come in every week and they just think everything's taken care of. Well, they don't need me to serve because everything's taken care of. Oh, no, we need you to serve. What we'd love to be able to do is tell people, hey, we got that covered. You're never going to hear that from us. We're going to go, oh, no, we got a place to serve. You can serve. We'll find you a place. We'll put you to work. Because you need to be fulfilled in your Christian life, and you won't be till you serve. You just won't. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Romans 12, 1 through 8. Thank you that you did not save me and then put me on a bench somewhere and not let me do anything for you. And then the pleasure, the privilege of serving your people and serving you. I get to serve the King of Kings. We get to serve the King of Kings, and then we serve one another. But what a privilege it is to serve you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the grace that you give to give us a gift that we might serve you in a way that we couldn't have done without you giving us that gift. Bless this group now as we go out. In Jesus' name, amen.